We're joined now by Steve Erlanger, The New York Times in Jerusalem, and Rob Watson, BBC defense correspondent in London. Steve Erlanger, we have some details that possibly a French and Egyptian-initiated ceasefire agreement may be on the table, according to French sources, including the French president, Nicolas Sarkozy. Israel has accepted this proposal. A government spokesman in Jerusalem, though, says Israel only welcomes it. What do you know at this point, and what is the state of hostilities at this hour?
Israel has not accepted it, and, you know, French President Nicolas Sarkozy likes to create reality of his own kind. The French have been working with the Americans, the Turks, the Egyptians, on bringing an end to the fighting. That is certainly true, and the Israelis have welcomed some of that discussion, and they say they will send a couple top aides to Prime Minister Olmert to Cairo to discuss it in the next couple of days. I suspect that may accelerate, but we're a long way from, you know, an acceptable ceasefire. Israel has certain conditions, which they say right now mean an absolute end to offensive rocket fire, etc., coming out of Gaza, aimed at Israel, and a serious means to prevent the continued smuggling of rockets and arms into Gaza from Egypt. And short of those two conditions, I don't think there's going to be a very effective ceasefire.
And that falls short of the durability test that the Bush administration has asked for here. Quickly, is it in Israel's interest for Egypt's credibility and profile to be raised here, since they're the last ones who are able to actually mediate something? And is that possibly something that the French are trying to accomplish?
Well, I think Egypt is crucial to all this, simply because it's their border, and there's no one else on that border. And the hope is that the Egyptians will be willing to let the Americans and possibly Europeans help the Egyptians through advice and consultation through corps of engineers figure out ways to better seal the border to prevent tunnels. But, you know, this notion that somehow an international force is going to march in onto the Gaza, the Egyptian border, seems to me slightly far-fetched.
Rob Watson of the BBC in London, is it true that there's reality and then there's Nicolas Sarkozy's reality, as Steve Erlanger suggests?
I got to say, I agree very much with Steve's take, and that is that, if you like, the French president, who is a self-declared sort of showman who has made a big splash since this crisis began, I think it's absolutely right in a sense by saying, look, everybody's agreed. It's like trying to create a different reality. And if you like, to put pressure on both sides, not just the Israelis, but the Palestinians too, to say, yes, we're ready to stop.
But, Rob, what does he gain by doing that, and particularly announcing that there's some kind of agreement with the Palestinian Authority in the West Bank that doesn't include Hamas? How does that further the dialogue and move Israel and Hamas towards some kind of ceasefire?
Well, I guess it kind of depends on what happens next, doesn't it? I mean, if a ceasefire does follow fairly shortly, then you could say, well, sort of job done. And I suppose, you know, even if it doesn't, it sort of does put a kind of certain amount of pressure on both sides. I mean, if you have one of the negotiators saying, look, we're there or almost there, you know, those who are party to the negotiations do feel a certain amount of pressure. But look, I think this is a case of his rather flamboyant and unique style. I mean, of course, some people would say that he rather jumped the gun in the Russia-Georgia ceasefire earlier last year.
Is there any chance, and Steve, I'll begin with you, but Rob, you can answer this just as easily, and I'll twist reality for a moment. I won't let Nicolas Sarkozy do it all. Is it possible that the Palestinians have in some sort of way negotiated some opening with Hamas, and that they are carrying some sort of ability to bring Hamas to the table here, and that it's from Hamas's side that this is being driven?
Well, I would say two things. One is, first, you need the Palestinian Authority, in other words, President Mahmoud Abbas, to sign on for this, because if they're going to open the Rafah crossing, it would be under a 2005 agreement that he negotiated with the Egyptians and the Israelis that Hamas didn't, and Hamas wants control over that crossing, and no one wants to give it to them. So the PA is important to the end result. They have very little control over Hamas. Hamas has sent some people to Egypt from Damascus, which is where it's really run, to talk to Omar Suleiman, who's the Egyptian intelligence chief who's doing most of the negotiating. And Hamas is also interested in a ceasefire, but it also has its conditions, too. And, you know, then we start a process of negotiating in a way through the Egyptians. The French have been helpful. The Americans are very involved to try to get to a ceasefire that is acceptable on both sides. But I suspect the Israelis will keep at least some of the military pressure up in the meantime.
You want to give us the last word, Rob?
I would only just say this, that, you know, in a way, whatever you think of President Sarkozy or whoever's doing the negotiating, the sort of fundamentals remain the same, don't they? And that is, for Israel to end this operation, it needs to be able to say, look, we stopped the rockets and we stopped the Hamas being able to rearm. Precisely what it is for Hamas to be able to come out of it without saying it was defeated is a bit less clear. But somehow, whatever ends this is going to have to meet those Israeli conditions.
And there's no sense that, from your perspective, Rob, that Israel has accomplished a military objective here? Or, you know, as the days go by, does this look more like a standoff to you?
Well, I don't know. I don't know what Steve thinks, but the impression I get is that the Israelis think that lessons have been learned from the war in 2006 in southern Lebanon, and that the military side of the operation is going as well or better than could be expected. The question is really, in a way, a bit more about the politics, and that is, if your aim is, as Israel has stated, to change the security situation in the south, do you achieve that by really fundamentally degrading Hamas, or just by something a bit less, which is making it clear to Hamas that the price for continued rocket fire is going to be pretty high and pretty painful?
All right. Thank you very much, Rob Watson, BBC defense correspondent. Since he raised it, Steve Erlanger, what do you think the political situation is from all of this, from where you're based in Jerusalem?
Well, Olmert, you know, there are elections here on February 10th, and two of the members of the cabinet are running against each other. Olmert's not running. So, and Barack Obama is going to get inaugurated before then. So whatever happens, I'm sure it'll be all done by the time Barack Obama gets into office. But I do believe what Rob said is quite right. Israel needs to be able to say that it's accomplished something lasting here.
And the rockets have stopped. We're going to leave it there, Steve. We've got to go, unfortunately, but thanks so much for joining us. Steve Erlanger of the New York Times joined us from Jerusalem on all the latest there on the ceasefire not announced by French President Sarkozy earlier this morning.
This is Ira Flatto, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, the Science Friday team has been reporting high-quality science and technology news, making science fun for curious people by covering everything from the outer reaches of space to the rapidly changing world of AI to the tiniest microbes in our bodies. Audiences trust our show because they know we're driven by a mission to inform and serve listeners first and foremost with important news they won't get anywhere else. And our sponsors benefit from that halo effect. For more information on becoming a sponsor, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.